This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joke yesterday, Sal. They were an absolute joke. And the bottom line is this. Loose atmospheres result in loose performances. And, you know, this is a conversation that's already old. I'm already tired of having it. I don't know how I can really inject anything new into it. But they've just got the wrong guy coaching this team. It's the bottom line. I mean, I know there's other layers to this. You know, the Cadens, the Rodgers, the Sala, the disrespect, the lack of trust. I mean, putting the ball on the turf, the stupid penalties. The New York Jets, to me, all right, the New York Jets are a team like, you know, like a really nice sports car, and you look at the gas tank and you got 13 miles to go. Like, they should be so much better than they are, and the person leading them is just not it.
Should they, though, be better than they are?
I think that they should be.
Well, based on what? Well, see, that's my problem where I say it's all hype and no substance.
Uh-huh.
And you know how we felt about this. Like, we talked about it. I just couldn't buy into this team. Something felt off. And maybe it's because I haven't seen them ever have success. So Rodgers is the only one who's earned that respect because he's actually done it before, winning a Super Bowl, winning the MVPs. The Jets as a whole, whether it's Douglas, the owner, Sala, the rest of the guys who maybe have talent on paper, they haven't earned anything. And yet we were all so quick to just say, well, look at the talent on paper. They're going to be a 12-11 win team, whatever it may be. Oh, the number 9.5, forget it. Playoff, Super Bowl, division. Based off of what? They haven't earned squat. And I want to say a lot of other things.
That was close.
But, yeah, exactly.
That was close.
So I guess my point is, are we sure that it's just a head coach and the Jets are actually better?
Well, I know that they're better than they played yesterday. Now, again, the bigger conversation, are they good enough to overcome Robert Saleh's deficiencies? My answer has always been no. What I've said this year is the Jets are going to win in spite of their head coach.
Right.
Now, I get where you're coming from. There's been this premature anointing, you know, by many, you know, Breece Hall's a superstar, Garrett Wilson's a superstar, this guy's a superstar.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, guys, tap the brakes here. I know that we live in a world of hyperbole, but I think we're a little too quick to identify the ceiling of these players so concretely. Listen, there's a lot of pieces here. There's a lot of good pieces here. There's a lot of talent here. I think if the Jets had a better head coach, I think they win with their eyes shut yesterday. Now, that doesn't mean that they win the Super Bowl, but I think they would have been more prepared against San Francisco. I think they would have been better out of the chute against Tennessee. The Patriots are just a joke, and things broke in their favor.
Yeah.
And they would have been more prepared and better equipped to play well yesterday. They just weren't ready to play. They had extra time off. Listen, now, we can look at them and say, you know, why were they favored by 7, or are they really this good? The facts remain that they were.
Went up to 8 yesterday.
Is that what it really went off at?
I bet the Broncos.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be an idiot if you're laying 7-8 points with the Jets. I don't care who's coaching, who's playing quarterback. It changes everything about their season. It really does. Don't tell me it doesn't change anything. Now you're running a race that You should not be running this early in the season. The Jets should be 3-1. We should be talking about a win. We should be cruising into the Mets conversation, which we will.
Yeah, It shouldn't even be a conversation. Nope. You're exactly right.
Nope. It should be, all right, wow, you know, you disposed of this team that came across the country, the Broncos, that have a rookie quarterback that has a good defense, admittedly, but has done nothing on offense. And their head coach disrespected your OC last year. Go and lay it on them. Just bang them around from the opening. And by the way, don't tell me that it was raining, because during the game, I was watching my son's team. I recorded it.
Yeah.
Watching my son's team play 6 miles from MetLife. Not a fumble. All right, so don't tell me about the weather, that the weather was that bad. The New York Jets, again, remain very good at one thing. Underachieving. Robert Saleh stinks.
Yeah, and that's not news. Like, we've been talking about that. You know how I feel about Saleh.
It's not news, but it was amplified yesterday.
Again. It was amplified again. We've seen this story. How many bleeping false starts do you need to see, or stupid penalties do you need to see, to realize that this team has no accountability?
It's a joke.
But it's been that way with the. Here's the biggest issue with the Jets, okay? And that's why I say they're all hype, no substance. There's no foundation. And the foundation comes from hiring the right people, whether it's the general manager, who then hires the right head coach, and he builds a foundation. Like you're seeing the Giants try to build a foundation. Now, the talent has to come, the quarterback has to come, and then from there you start to elevate your levels of success.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets never built a foundation. They drafted some talented players, and then they went out and got the superstar quarterback. There is no foundation, and without that, there are holes everywhere. You watch them play, and you're thinking, how the hell is this team at home 8-point favorite over the crappy Broncos, and the Broncos are better than some people thought. And I actually thought they'd be okay because of Peyton and because of that defense, and you saw signs of that last year, but still, the Jets are 8-point favorites at home on a year where people are talking about the Jets being Super Bowl. How can they not go out there and at least play a solid game from start to finish? They're a mess. The reason is they don't have a foundation. And I do think it starts up top.
Well, it always does. And then you're right. It starts up top and then it trickles down. There was one word that mattered yesterday, one word that was said, and it's accountability. That's all you need to know. I mean, Aaron Rodgers looked us in the eyes and said, I don't know what you want from me. I've been doing this for basically 20 years. If these clowns can't follow my cadence, that's their fault. I mean, so we got to mix everything up because these clowns don't understand when to actually snap the ball and when to react to the snap. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, just the look that what he projected post-game. Yeah, now, Rodgers didn't play very well either. I'm not making excuses for Rodgers.
You know what he said afterward? He took accountability.
He did.
Yeah, the weather sucked, but so did some of my throws.
That's exactly what he said. He said, I sucked and the weather sucked, but I got to be better, no doubt. And listen, Rodgers is trying to elevate a moribund, pathetic, lifeless, leaderless, rudderless franchise. Good luck.
Yeah, and let's listen to the quote, and then we're going to get back to the calls here, or get to the calls here. But I think it's important just to hear from what Rodgers said after the game, because it speaks to the inept attitudes of the Jets' entire organization and lack of accountability. Let's listen.
The cadence specifically, Robert said that might be something you guys have to dial back a little bit. Is that something you think could potentially help the situation?
It's one way to do it. The other way is hold them accountable. I mean, we haven't had an issue. We've had one false start. Morgan had one false start, I believe, until this. So, you know, it's been a weapon. We use it every day in practice. We don't, you know, we rarely have a false start. And to have, I don't know, 5 today, it seemed like, 4 or 5. Yeah, that seems like an outlier. I don't know if we need to make mass changes based on, you know, kind of an outlier game.
He's been using his cadence as a weapon his entire career, and Saleh's response is, well, maybe we need to change the cadence? And you hear the quarterback say maybe they just need to be held accountable for a change, which is something they haven't been, period. Now, Saleh did, I guess, walk that back today.
Of course he did.
Naturally, miscommunication.
Oh, sure.
That's not what he meant by cadence.
Yay.
When have you used cadence anywhere but that?
That's so embarrassing, Sal. You know, like, think about some of the great weapons in sport, whether it's Pedro's changeup or Greg Maddux's precise, you know, accuracy, or Phil Mickelson's flop shot. Aaron Rodgers' cadence is right up there.
Right.
And now, like, it's the Jets. If there's one organization that could get, you know, to get already, I mean, 4 weeks into the season, already get to a point where we have to question question one of the all-time assets from one of the all-time quarterbacks. It's a joke. It's an absolute. They weren't ready. I mean, the 15. You guys watched the game. 15 penalties, 13 of which were obviously, taken. That game changes everything. Now they have to go to London. The Vikings look like they're real. I know what happened with the Bills last time. The Bills are going to be a handful. This changes the entire complexion of the Jets' season.
It doesn't.
They weren't ready.
It doesn't mean the season is over.
I'm not saying that.
Right, but what it needs to do is get everybody back to reality here. Make them, whether you're a Jet fan or not, make them earn it. They need to show us. Show us. Go beat the Vikings. Go beat the Bills or whoever. Show us before we sit here and say, playoffs, division, Super Bowl, best case. Show us. And with that head coach, I don't believe that they will show us. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. John is in Manhattan. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. What's going on? How you doing? I called in after week one. I said any well-coached team is going to beat this Jets team. So just go through the schedule now. Highlight who has a good coaching staff. They're going to beat this team. I called in last week. I said we throttled the Patriots, but the penalties are still a massive glaring issue. We got to stop with Sala. It's time that he gets fired because he can't lead the team. And it's just going to be more and more of all this disappointment. You could have had Zach Wilson as our quarterback yesterday. We probably lose 10-3 instead of 10-9, but this is absolutely ridiculous. We need to stop giving leeway to Sala and just start calling for his head.
So John, what else do you want us to say? I mean, I don't know how much more blunt I can be. He's not good.
They're not going to fire him either in season. The time to do that.
Whoa, hold on a sec. You think if this continues, you don't think that he's going to get fired during the season?
Well, not at any point where it could save the season.
If they get smoked in London.
Yeah, no way.
You don't think that there's a conversation that really needs to be had about him losing his job?
No way.
I do.
No, the time to have it was last year.
I understand that, but that doesn't mean you just keep pushing this thing forward and ignoring the reality of what might be going down.
Right, but then what's the answer?
I know he's not the answer.
Nathaniel
Hackett. He's not the answer. I know that, Sal. I don't know what the answer
is.
I know he ain't it. That I know.
Understood. I'm with you. By the way, that looked like a Zach Wilson quarterback game yesterday. That reminded me of watching the Jets pre-Aaron Rodgers. That should never happen again. Ever. I don't care what the weather's like or who the opponent is. That should never happen.
See, this is what bothers me. So they're on the one-yard line, right? And you got a 250-pound horse who is ready to eat. Just let him out of the stable, stick it in his stomach, and let him just break somebody in half and get the touchdown. Nope, they got to get cute. Now, Robert Saleh's not in charge of the offense. I understand. If that's my team, I walk up to Hackett and I say, dude, I don't know what you're doing. Give him the football.
Right.
Stop dancing around. Like, that's what I mean. I understand he's a defensive coach, but to have no influence on the offense, it is a joke. And there is a little teeny tiny, tiny, tiny window where the Jets have a chance to win with Rodgers before they got to pay all these guys. And the window is now. And here we are entering October, and it's already shutting.
It's ineptitude of the highest levels, and it's because they don't have the people in place to hire the right people, to put the right people in place. Like, this it's gone on and on. And think about it. Jim Harbaugh was available. If I were an owner, I would have done anything. And this is not just this offseason. I'm talking about years ago.
I know.
You do. When a guy like that is available, and this is for the Giants and the Jets, but obviously we're talking about the Jets right now. You do whatever you can to get that guy in your building and let him run your entire team.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, he'll build it up. That's what he does. And they didn't do it. And instead, they go hire these first-time guys and these guys who were over their heads in New York or whatever. And by the way, he's not the only one. They could have made moves. Even if you forget about 4 years ago, they could have made moves this year. Vrabel was another name that you brought up.
I love Vrabel.
Yeah, I mean,
love him.
Who knows what would happen with Belichick. Belichick's so smart, he wouldn't have come here because he knows he doesn't want to work for this owner and be in that organization. But anyway, point is, this is a big problem because they have not built a foundation. End of story.
That's true.
Nick is in Nanuet. What's up, Nick?
Nick, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, guys? How you guys doing today?
All good. Right. What's up?
All right. So I got a couple of things that I want to say. So first of all, Breece Hall hasn't been that guy. Everyone thought he was. Not even close, in my opinion. I mean, yesterday solidified that. I mean, how do you carry the ball consistently, and you're getting crushed behind the line. And then this kid Allen comes in, and he's moving the ball. And you know, it's crazy. I'm watching the game, and I'm saying to myself, how are they not putting this kid in? We drafted him. He's 245 pounds. What's going on? So, here we go. Salah is the most pathetic little fraud I've ever seen in my life. He is lost. The fact I have to watch this clueless idiot every Sunday coach my favorite football team is terrible.
No, I would have to start calling him an idiot. Said, yeah, I mean, I got you. Thanks for the way. We're not going to start dropping idiots. And, you know, we're not going to make this personal. Yeah. He's just a horrendous head coach.
Hey, he seems like a great guy I'd like to hang out
no
with.
No doubt.
He also seems like a guy who maybe I could teach a thing or two about football, too. I mean, come on. And you said to yourself, well, I just want to have anything to do with the offense. That's a problem. You're the head coach. God, that game is directly on him. The slop that's out there from the get-go?
I know.
Week one against the Niners. Look at that game yesterday. You're at home. You're 8-point favorites.
Yep.
Penalties galore. You have way more penalties than you do first downs or yards or whatever you want to, you know, joke you want to throw out there. Like, that was as bad as it gets.
And by the way, don't ignore this either. Just because they were able to win and Will Levis was awful. You know, the way they looked against San Francisco, which was not prepared, to put it nicely, the way they started that Tennessee game, they were not ready for that game. Like, they got very lucky. We talked about this. I was there the next day. You know, I mean, if Will Levis doesn't play, you know, hot potato, throw it on the turf, they're down 10-0,
right,
minimally, probably down 14-0, and they're probably 0-2. So they weren't even ready to react to the performance against San Francisco. See, here's the problem with the Jets. With Robert Saleh, with him, when they play poorly, and you need to button things up, I mean, the next game, and come back and really dial it in. And with focus, you don't trust him. And when they play well and they're coming off a win, they've got some momentum, you don't trust him to be buttoned up to keep that momentum going. So, I mean, this is what it's going to be. Little up, little down. Little up, little down. And this roster, while I get your point, maybe it's been anointed too quickly, this roster is talented to be 2-2. It doesn't equate to the players they have.
And I do
it's coaching.
I feel bad for Jet fans because you and other Jet fans did not have the, like, I could separate myself from it and say Salah's going to hold you back. But you don't want to believe what you really know deep down.
But I agreed with you when I said.
I
said they will win in spite of Salah.
Well,
I've said
right,
that.
Right, but how can you win really in spite of the head coach?
Well, I mean, against teams like the Broncos. I don't necessarily mean the Super Bowl.
Well, no, I know, but I think ultimately, point is, I think ultimately most Jeff fans know and knew that Robert Saleh was never going to be the guy. And you had to hope and just believe and ignore it because nothing you can do about it. He is your guy. You either want to get excited for the season or you don't.
Yeah.
He is your guy. And now you're seeing it play out to where this is why he's a problem. Pete is in Seaford. What's up, Pete?
Hey, Pete.
Guys, you know, the best time to fire Saleh was the day after the Super Bowl last year. The second best time was when I called you guys 2 weeks ago after the Tennessee game, and I said, we have 2 weeks. We have a gimme game on Thursday against the Patriots. We have 2 weeks to bring Vrabel in, let him get some semblance of his own system in here, and get ready for the meat of this schedule. And you guys hung up on me and said, Pete, that was the silliest thing we've heard all day. And now here we are. This man is going to keep us from winning football games. The Minnesota we have to travel all the way to London. The Jets elected not to take their bye after the London game.
I know.
So there is no relief coming after this. The Vikings, if the season ended today, Sam Darnold is MVP, and it's not even particularly close. We're going to lose in London. We have Josh Allen going to bounce back from a disastrous game last night on Monday night, and all of a sudden this season is in a total tailspin. Total tailspin. We should have fired Saleh after the Tennessee game. And the last caller.
But Pete, you're not going to fire him after a win, Pete. I mean, come on.
Why?
You're just not.
And not only
you're
that. Because, again, Pete, you're missing the point. Now, nobody's been harsher critic of Saleh than me, calling him multiple times the worst, literal worst head coach in the league. However, the time to fire him is not in season, especially when we're in week four. Even after yesterday, like, if you're not firing him after yesterday's loss, you're certainly not firing him after a win, his first win of the season in Tennessee. It makes no sense. you, Pete, wanted the same thing that I wanted. Fire him after last year. But once you make the decision to stick with him,
yep.
you're not firing him anytime soon.
It was very telling to me, and I said this when I got back from Tennessee. You know, when you watch it on TV and you've been to a couple of games already this year, Sal, Jets and Giants, when you're in the stadium, you can see things differently. And where I was seated, I was at the 40, and I was maybe 20 rows behind the Jets bench. The lack, right in front of Vera Tucker's parents, the lack of interaction from Robert Saleh to his team was mind-blowing. And this was when they were playing poorly to start. I'm watching him, and I actually took a video of it, not to put him on blast, but whatever. I mean, it's on my account if you want to see it. They are getting shredded early on, playing so poorly. He's not talking to anybody. I mean, not even the remnants of coaching. Like the bare bones, whatever you have to do to fix something, I didn't see him do anything. And I'm like, my goodness gracious, not even a conversation. I mean, you go up and you undress somebody, nothing, by himself, walking around.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He ain't it. He's not it. And I'm not going to scream, but I'm not going to yell forever because this is going to resurface throughout the year. Robert Saleh ain't it. The Jets know it. They have to know it. And if they don't know it, then they're worse than I thought. They must know it because he ain't it.
And you know who definitely knows it? Aaron Rodgers. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get back to more of your calls on the other side. Work in the Mets as well. Big day. I know there's a lot of negativity.
You nervous?
With the Jets. No, wait, I'm excited.
You excited.
I got what I wanted, baby.
Let's
I got
go.
What I
Let's
want.
Go.
These games to matter. Mets need to beat the Braves, and they are in. So we'll have plenty on that, including watching the game with you. We're going to watch the game. You know, game starts at 1:10. We'll be on the air until 2 o'clock. We're going to watch along here. BT and I'll have some conversation as we watch the Mets and Braves get underway a little bit later on. We get the Knicks big trade to get into as well. So plenty to do. Just getting started on this Monday, BT and Sal on the Fans. I mean, I just don't get it with this team. Why can't they do anything? Even if they won yesterday, it's not like us saying, well, this is great and they're going to be good moving forward. It would have been ugly regardless, but even if Zerline does make that kick in the end, you're still going to rip them. But all right, at least they stabilize things. They get the win and move forward here.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason. Like, are you at the point now, and I was thinking of this yesterday. We started the year with what, 11, 12 wins?
Yeah, I think okay. I said 11 and 6.
Okay, and then you know, the way they look to the Niners maybe puts a little dent in that.
I didn't think they'd win that game, they did not look good.
Where are we at now?
Yesterday was a dent, for sure. It's a game you have to have. I mean, I could go to 10 and 7.
Okay, so you still, you're coming down, but
yeah,
we're still,
certainly not going up.
We're still,
you know, and now if you tell me, you know, if they come back and they get wrecked by the Vikings... I also didn't think the Vikings would be incredibly, powerful this year.
Right.
And so far they are.
I mean,
so.
I wouldn't be shocked, though, if they... Like, here's the thing. With Rodgers, you always have a shot. Unfortunately, with Saleh, it's like, all right, well, what's going to...
Yeah.
Which one's going to weigh bigger on this particular day?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, they were all over Rodgers yesterday. I mean, that offensive line did not look very good. And Brian Flores' Vikings defense is going to be an issue. So...
Dude, Vikings in London.
Yep.
Monday night against the angry Bills.
Steelers.
Oh,
it's
at
tough.
Pittsburgh.
Oh, I know. This is the gauntlet right here. You had to. Well, they didn't. So it doesn't matter. I can say a million times they had to win yesterday. They didn't win. They didn't win. And to me, it's not, you know, okay, you want to feed into the narrative, same old Jets. Well, I don't even care about that. But all I know is the team that took the field yesterday did not look ready to play. And that is too often a characteristic of Robert Saleh's teams, period.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Kyle is in West Orange, New Jersey. What's up, Kyle?
What's up, gentlemen? What's up? This is Kyle Bald and Sexy Crew. Listen, that was horrendous what I saw with the Jets yesterday. And I want them to win. But the problem is what everybody's saying. Saleh needs to hold men accountable. You got your star Hall of Fame quarterback basically saying it. I don't know. I guess we need to hold people accountable. And Saleh needs to do that. This was ridiculous. And also Lazard, that play where they were like first down at the 11 and he does the little and he gets thrown. That kind of thing is where the coaches, and they were saying that on INE, they were saying, look, coaches need to hold these men accountable. You can't let them just do whatever they want to do. This is how other teams like Patriots and Kansas City win and how the Jets are still behind. And Saleh cannot get happy when his team makes a turnover or a touchdown, and he's jumping on like he's won the game.
Happy's
and Aaron's going, chill out. Yeah. He's not right. He needs to chill. And listen, I think he would be, you know, another place. Look, everybody's got to learn. And I'm not going to call it another defensive coordinator somewhere else, but the Jets got to get a coach in here because Aaron Rodgers is not going to let this happen again. He is not going to let this happen. He's not going to take the fall. Yeah. And the schedule that you just read off, well, gentlemen, I don't see them in October. Maybe they can beat the Patriots.
I mean, here's the one thing. Well, if they don't beat the Patriots, forget about it.
Maybe we'll get fired.
Yeah, I would think. To start playing the win-loss game now, it's a waste of time, even though we mess around before the season and we kind of have fun here and there. I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to say is this, though, because the caller's main premise was he's got to start holding players accountable. I got news for you. It's too late.
Yeah.
This is why I use the analogy of parenting. When you allow your kids to do something during the formative years of their life, and then you try to put your foot down when they're 11 or 12 years old or 13, guess what? It's probably too late. And Robert Saleh's formative stage in terms of the culture, what's acceptable, what's not, that has elapsed. He can't go in there a different person. That's not how this works. That's not how psychology works with grown men. This isn't high school. So if he comes in today or when they meet and he's a different person, they're not going to buy it. It's not going to be authentic. It's too late.
And his way is proven not
soft.
It's not to work.
It's soft, dude.
He loves his players.
I've never seen such an aggressive presentation with such softness behind it.
Such a beast of a dude.
Yeah. Like
jacked.
It's the exact opposite of what I thought we got.
Yeah. The whole thing Carton was doing when he first got hired, right? Our coach could kick your coach's ass.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure that was
sounds right, though. I would have put my money on Saleh at that point.
Yeah. Apparently not.
No, I mean, boy,
he's too nice. I've been saying it forever.
Yeah,
he's too nice.
He really is. Even this goes. See, this is nitpicking now. But when things go awry, we nitpick. All right. But this is not a first guess. I said this last year. Go back to Hard Knocks. You remember this bothered me. I'm watching Hard Knocks like you're watching Hard Knocks, and Robert Saleh was reacting to some of Rodgers' passes like I would react if I was on the field watching the Jets practice. Oh my God, what a throw! Oh wow! Oh whoa! Wow. I mean, you're an NFL coach, dude. You've never seen somebody spin the ball like that? Now, maybe not to that extent.
Right.
But what you project, it's just, and then when they get a turnover or they score, he's acting like we act.
Right, like there's a fine balance.
Gosh.
See, because we did talk about this, well, he shows no emotion. He just stands there and does nothing. And then he goes nuts like that, and now it's, well, he goes too nuts. But there is, so I wouldn't want to criticize him for showing emotion because I do like that. And other coaches have done the same thing. I do think, though, that he has missed the opportunity to strike the proper balance with it.
Yes, yeah, I agree. Now, if we had, and I love the emotion as well. Yeah. I wish some more of our, New York sporting figures, coaches, authority figures, have that emotion. Like, that was one of my knocks on Todd Bowles. Come on, give us a little more, Todd, right. The anti-Rex, I understood why they hired him.
I'd rather Bowles. Me, personally, I'm a Bowles/Dable type.
Yeah, listen, if Bowles was coaching this team, they'd be better. I'm with you on that. But you can't be, like, so enthusiastic when things go well and then so detached when things go wrong.
That speaks to your balance.
You've got to be a little bit more in the middle. And it's just like when things go wrong, he just vanishes.
Chris is calling from Coney Island. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Chris.
I just wanted to talk about something that I don't think anyone's really talking about, and has to do with coaching, but a different side of coaching, the personnel. The fact that, third and goal at the one, you're trying to throw to a defensive tackle. Then you got on the last drive of the game, you're trying to throw a 20-yard comeback route to an undrafted free agent who probably wouldn't be on the team if he didn't return that kick in week one last year because he hasn't done a thing.
He's done nothing.
And then you drafted a fourth-round wide receiver that you praised about all offseason. Oh, we could have traded up for him. Oh, we're so happy we got him. The guy can't get on the field.
Mm-hmm.
We need more receivers. Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, the chemistry hasn't been there.
Garrett
Wilson's been
terribly disappointing.
Yep.
Sertain
is awesome.
Nah.
I get it. But good teams find ways to get the ball to their guy.
Hey, Chris, I got a question for you. So we all know that the Giants have some issues, right? We know that the Giants have some issues. Thanks for the call there, Chris. This is a general, rhetorical point. Giants have issues. Giants are far from perfect. Do the Giants have a problem getting the ball to their number one receiver? Do they have an issue? No.
With a quarterback who is...
Yeah, who's not Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, right.
They find a way to get him 12, 13 targets a week.
Yeah, it's not just Surtain. Like, he is a great cornerback, yes.
For sure.
But that's not the reason why Garrett Wilson is
struggling. Figure it out.
They're a mess. The other thing is their run game is overrated. You're a good running team when you run the football when you have to. And the Jets can't do that. Whether it's short yardage situation, to close out a game, whatever, they have not proven that they could be a good running team. They've had some success, sure, and they have two good backs.
Yeah.
But they're not a good running football team. Otherwise, yesterday, you pound the rock. All right, it's wet, it's raining, whatever. Rodgers not having a great game. Run the football. Run the damn football. It's a one-score game the entire game. Use your weapons. They can't even do it. Breece Hall goes negative yards. Good guy.
I think that's a really good point because I think we confuse... The ability and the potential for Breece Hall to, rip off a 60-yard touchdown. And we've seen him do that a few times as a Jet, where he just takes it to the house. And we associate that with the Jets as a consistent run threat. No, not really. You need those 2 yards. It seems like they never get them.
Right.
They never get any momentum at the line of scrimmage.
A good running team runs the football when they have to run the football, not just breaks one every now and then. And the Jets have not proven to be that. That's another big part of the problem.
Obviously, the Yankees will get a chance to chill. 5 days off, 94 wins, top mark in the American League, home field advantage throughout. Just an incredible season from Judd. 322, 58, and 144. And Soto with 41 home runs. And now the pressure starts. But as that pressure starts for the Yankees, we can still kind of push them aside a little bit here because it's the Mets' turn.
I'm excited for the day.
You feeling good, buddy?
Yeah, I am. This is exactly what I wanted. I wanted this team to have to go into Atlanta and win at least one game. I think winning two would have been a little... Yeah, obviously winning two is more challenging than winning one, but I feel like the pressure of having to sweep the doubleheader, and it would have meant real disaster in Milwaukee for the Mets had they had to win both. So I think this is the perfect case scenario. They had to go back there. I wanted to play these two games. I wanted to have to beat the Braves to get in, and I'm feeling pretty good now. We'll see what happens. It's either going to be a great day of celebration or... it will go down as another epic collapse, and you could argue maybe the worst collapse of all. I know 2007 was awful.
Was that the up 7 with 17?
Yes, that was bad for different reasons. That was kind of like a shock that it actually happened. But think about all that had to happen along the way to get to that point where they collapsed. Right now, it's plain and simple. Just win one game. You play two games in Atlanta. You win one baseball game, you're in. You control your own. That's it. Not to worry about anything else. Win one baseball game. And I feel like... I'm not going to predict whether they will or won't, but I just feel good about it. I'm excited for this. And I do trust that Mendoza and Lindor will do enough to get them over the hump. Now, the real question is, are they going to win game one or game two? Because game one's the one that matters.
Yeah, because then it allows them to save Severino and push him to tomorrow. And same with the Braves. They can push back Sale. I mean, this is...
I want game one, man. BT. I don't even want game two. I want game
one. I understand that. Of course. And you feel good.
Well, yeah, I feel I'm good with where they're at. I even felt good over the weekend. Like, everybody was going nuts. I've talked about it for months. It was always going to come down to the Braves series. And now it's even more beneficial to them. Had this happened a week ago like it was supposed to, they would have had to win two out of three to get in. Now they just have to win one. One out of those three. Obviously, they lost that first one, but people are going nuts. Oh, here we go again. They're going to collapse, losing to the Brewers. Those games really didn't mean anything.
You like who's taking the baseball in game one?
I mean, what are the options? Would I rather have Severino pitch? I'm fine with the way that they're doing it because I do think you have to at least have some. Think about it this way. And it almost doesn't even make sense to have Severino pitch game two at this point. Same thing with the Braves. Like, I get that it's technically an elimination game in game two. Not even technically. It will be. Whoever loses game one is facing an elimination game in game two.
Yes.
But the team who wins game one is not going to do anything to try to win the game in game two. They're going to roll out there and play and bleep happens, we know, but like, you think if the Mets win game one, Edwin Diaz is going to pitch game two?
I don't think so.
No, of course not. Do you think Lindor is going to be playing if the Mets win game one? Of course not. Is Severino going to be? No, they're not going to. So the Braves then are going to have a great opportunity. So I'm not even so sure that if I'm the Mets, I would actually pitch Severino in game two. The problem is, God forbid you don't pitch him, and whoever you do throw out there gets lit up. You know,
I'm trying to put myself in your shoes and how I'd be feeling right now. 10:49, staring at this situation.
I can't wait, dude. I'm excited. This
yeah, no, great. You should be. You should be. You should be. I mean,
like, not nervous at all.
Well, I don't know if I would feel that way.
Now,
yeah, at that time, I'd be a little bit brazen there, but I respect it if that's how you feel.
I mean, if they
you're not nervous at all.
No, not at all.
Come on,
I'm excited. Here's what you know. What's nuts?
What?
I'm just telling you how I feel inside.
Yeah.
After game one against Atlanta, I felt it was the first time when they were in real trouble. Since then, I feel like they got a little bit of a break with the weather and getting out of Atlanta.
Yeah.
And the way things broke for them with Arizona losing. Like, I don't feel, even with losing to Milwaukee, I just don't feel pessimism. I feel like the Mets are going to figure out a way to win one of these games and get in.
And I get that. I mean, because they've given you that ammunition, that mental fuel. I mean, they were 22-33. And think about the discussions we had about this team. And, you know, I said some things that in real time, I certainly believe. But like right now, they look crazy and I've owned them. I mean, it's been one of the most improbable resurrections of any New York sports team in a long time. So, but you got to finish the race.
Yeah, well, they got to get it done.
Got to finish the race. Otherwise, it's still the Mets.
Think about how sweet getting to the postseason will be knowing that you did it by beating the Braves in Atlanta.
Or how painful it's going to feel if you don't.
Well, and
that's the risk that you take.
That's why I said if they got swept today, I think it would be even worse than 2007.
I could feel that. I got you.
They
got
to get the job done today. Clem is in Rockland. What's up, Clem?
Yeah, I hope you guys had a great weekend. Yo, BT, I don't know if you heard, man, about 15 minutes before your show started, Boomer and Gio were playing that sperm bank donor thing and using you as sound bites.
I did not hear that.
Dude, you got to go to Odyssey, the free Odyssey app, and just listen because it was the funniest thing. I mean, you got all these great sound bites, obviously, man. And the way I don't know who segued them in there, man. I was literally dying, man, hurting, laughing so hard.
Was it really that funny? I did not hear it.
I didn't hear it either, but now I want to. Okay, free Odyssey app.
You got to listen to it.
Oh, my God.
All right, listen. Southstradamus, I need you to look deep into the crystal balls and tell me today will not be one of the greatest days in Mets history when we get that dragon off our back and slay the Braves finally once and for all into the playoffs. Mendy, all the way. You got to say King Cohen. You got to say it.
No, not yet, Clement. Thank you for the call, and I love the energy. I feel good about today. Which is going to make it even worse. Like, when you go into a situation bracing yourself or expecting pain or expecting the worst, it at least softens the blow.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I am going in with the expectation that there's no way today ends with the Mets losing both these games, which means if it did happen that way, it would be devastating. I will hold the King Cohen moniker back until the offseason. We'll see how that plays out.
There's checkpoints that need to be
hit. Getting to the postseason is a big one. And they said postseason. I'll give them all the credit in the world. I'm not going to go nuts with the King Cohen stuff, although you're tempting me, Clem. I do appreciate that. But BT, I'm telling you how I feel. It's not about predictions or all that.
In
this particular case.
You feeling good?
I just feel unusually confident.
What if it was one game and you had to win it?
I think probably a different story.
I would think you'd feel a little different.
Well, you got to be realistic about it. I'm not saying that I wouldn't believe that they would win it, but it would be, oh boy, I'm nervous about this one. The way that it's set up,
oh man,
it would be a disaster. Like, the shocking thing today would be for a team to sweep, right? The Braves or the Mets.
Well, based on the circumstances and that second game would would result in terms of just a lineup based on the team that wins the first game. The odds favor a split.
Yes. Now, I want the first game. I don't want to back in and just, like, to me it would be, yeah, great. All right, you got in. And you'd be happy that you get in, but it wouldn't really be beating the Braves. Game one's the game where they want to beat you, and game one is the game where you need to beat them to set the postseason up right. You get in by winning a game two where they're not really trying, and you're using your best bullets in that game, that would bother me. I want game one specifically.
Yeah, I would like you to paint the picture for me for the Met fan out there. So even as the Jets have been, you know, so problematic in my sporting life, I'm one of the few Jet fans, you know, I don't know why I do this. I just do this where it's the delusional side. I don't tap into the, oh, woe is me. You know that that's not
right,
my style.
Right.
That's not just a shtick on air. Like, I think even when things are, you know, going awry, like, all right, the Jets will find a way to get it done. I think like a winner. I don't think like a loser, all right? Do you think most Met fans right now are thinking like winners or they're thinking like losers?
I think most Met fans are confident and comfortable in the spot that they're at. Again, if it were one game, I think it'd be a different story. I think most Met fans today, while acknowledging that certainly things can go wrong, and I feel like there was overwhelming negativity over the weekend with the way that things were going the first two games in Milwaukee, which also didn't make any sense to me. They still had full control of what was going on. But I would bet that most fans today, after the win yesterday, knowing they just need one today, Lindor back in there healthy, I think the Met fans believe in this team.
It feels that way to me, too.
Yeah, just
it does.
Feeling
it definitely feels like there's more positivity than the negative energy. Oh, we're going to implode. I feel like the Met fans confident, secure, measured. I think the Met fans ready.
Right. What could go wrong? BT and Sal on the fan. We'll come back. We'll give our thoughts on that massive Knicks trade that happened late Friday night. We got so much to get to today. This is great. Maybe one of the great days in New York sports talk history. We got the Jets with an awful loss. We'll continue with them. Mets, obviously, historic day with a doubleheader, needing one to get in the postseason. And Carl Anthony Towns is a New York Knick. BT and Sal on the fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.